Bill read to us this morning about not forgetting God. We are all here this morning because we did not forget God today. I do hope that when we wake up in the morning, we will not forget God again. Every day that we live because of God. And we need to understand that and never forget Him and His blessings. For you see, when one forgets God in his life, the door of sin is automatically opened. Satan gives mankind many opportunities to forget God. There are many warnings in the scripture for man about forgetting God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, which Bill just read partly for us, is the strongest warnings that we have in scripture about forgetting God. I wish we would have had time for Bill to read the first 18 verses of this chapter, because it goes into great description talking about the Israelites forgetting God. In fact, we can continue reading with verse 18 and we find out the consequences of forgetting God in our lives. I'd like for us to read this together. Then it shall be that if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is strong language, isn't it? There are definite consequences for not following God, not obeying God, and then literally forgetting Him as the greatest part of your life. We have other scriptures in the Bible that will encourage us to remember God and that will admonish us to remember Him. One is found by Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Solomon said, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." Now, this is a basic command for all people. Remember God. Remember that He created you. Remember that He blessed you. Every one of us here this morning have been blessed by God today. Because had it been His will, you would not have gotten out of bed this morning. You would not have got your clothes on. You would not have gotten in your car and come here to worship Him. He could have ended your life through the night. We have been blessed today because we have been allowed to come here. Yet so many live their lives without remembering their Creator. And it's interesting that he should say in the days of your youth. What that means is that you start out early in life remembering your Creator, remembering your God. Because again, He is the reason that you are alive. If you wake up in the morning for a new day, He will be the reason that you have done so. Because if He chooses that you don't, you won't. It's as simple as that. In the book of Jude, verse 5, Jude reminds the Christians of the events that have taken place in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, "I want to remind you, though you once knew this." I'm going to remind you of something that you already know that maybe you have forgotten or maybe that you have chosen to put out of your mind. Because how many people choose to put God out of their minds? "Though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them." who did not believe. Now, I don't know about you, but I do believe that if I had been one of those Israelites that Moses led out of Egypt, and I believe that if I had been a part of that number and I had watched that Red Sea part, and I walked across on the other side, and I watched the fire fall from heaven and the winds from heaven to stop the Egyptian army to allow me to cross that Red Sea, I believe that I would remember that, and that I would remember the God who caused that to happen. And I believe that if I had been one of the few lucky people, wonderful people, who had been allowed to follow Jesus Christ through his life, and I watched him raise people from their beds of affliction, and I had watched him bring people out of the tomb who had been dead for days, I believe I would remember that. And I believe that I would appreciate the fact that he had that kind of power and that I need to follow them and obey him and put my life in his hands. But yet we have so many people who, like the Israelites here, did not believe. Today, for our lesson, I want us to consider forgetting God and what it's like and what it leads to. First of all, I want to suggest to you that sin is just a way of forgetting God. When we put sin into our lives, whether you want to admit this or not, God is the farthest thing from your mind when you commit that sin. Oh, you may think about God before you do it, but when you commit that sin, God is not in your forethought. And there are several things that cause us to forget God through sin. First one I mentioned here is selfishness. Forgetting God in other people and thinking only of yourself. You know, when I think about myself, my business, my needs, my desire, my satisfactions, my intentions, I pretty much forget everything else. I forget about the God who is possibly going to make this happen for me. I forget about other people and their needs and their desires and their wants, and could care less about what happens to them. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 that love does many things in this chapter. One thing he tells us, that love does not seek its own. If we have love in our heart for God, and if we have love in our heart for other people, we are not going to be selfish. And we're not going to demand our way over everyone else's way. In Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, Paul said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. In other words, we don't forget the needs of other people. And in doing so, we don't forget God. Remember what Jesus said, inasmuch as you did it in one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And then he says in Romans 12, verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. We can't be self-centered and be a Christian at the same time. It cannot happen. So, sin will cause selfishness, and selfishness will make us forget God. We also need to know that pride will cause us to forget God. You know, humility is the thing that puts us in the presence of God. When we come to the Lord, We humble ourselves in His sight. Remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican who was praying in the temple? We find this story in Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. And as we read this story, we find one character walking into the room, and he is so proud of himself. In fact, he prays to his God, and he says, "Lord, I am so glad that I am not like other men. I don't want to be like Claude Harrell Jr. I don't want to be like Ronnie. I don't want to be like Terry. I am far, far better than they are. And I do all of these things for you, Lord. And I show my appreciation for you because I give and people look at me and they see God." Yeah. And then the other man walks into the room, so humble that he will not lift his eyes. And he says, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." He doesn't see himself equal to this man in front barking all these things about himself. He don't see himself equal to people in society. He knows that he is a sinner. He knows that he needs God. The Pharisee is basically saying, "God, I don't need you." But the publican does. And he knows that. He knew that he was a sinner. And he didn't forget that fact. Now let me remind each and every one of us in this room right now, and it doesn't matter who you are or who you're sitting next to, you are a sinner. And you need to know that. And you need to know that you need God. You need to remember God and never forget Him. Another thing is worry. When men worry, they forget God. They forget that God has promised them that they don't need to worry. You and I here today have been promised many things by God that we don't need to worry about. We can go to Matthew chapter 6 and we can begin reading about verse 25 and we can find Jesus saying, why do you worry about your life? About what you will put on? Why do you worry about what you will eat or what you will drink? Has anybody in here ever really been hungry? No, not a one of us. Your heavenly Father knows that you need things. He's known it from the very beginning. He made the first garments for Adam and Eve, the first two people, because He knew they needed them. But then He says something that's quite unique. Verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Do you know what this is actually telling us? All these things you worry about? All these things that you're afraid you're not going to have? The clothes you wear, the food you eat, the place you live? God's going to give you all of these things if you put Him first. It's a promise. You see, worry comes along when men trust in their own devices and their own ways of getting things and not put their lives in the hands of God. Then we have envy that can cause us to forget God. Oh, we see someone else do well. We see someone else being honored for something that they have achieved We see someone else succeed in the things that they're doing. And we may see them get something new. We may see them drive in a new car or have new furniture in their house or maybe even have a new house. And we think to ourselves, oh boy, don't they think there's something. And they forget God is actually the one that's allowed them to do this. The psalmist David said in Psalm 103, verse 2, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Have you ever stopped to think that it didn't matter what you have, God's actually the reason you have it? Because like I said earlier, if he didn't want you to have it, you wouldn't have it. Because one thing we need to understand about God, God is going to have his way whether you like it or not. And this verse reminds us to remember and appreciate the God that gives to us every day. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In other words, we need to be grateful to God in all circumstances. Which raises a question. Why do we forget him? Why do we forget God? Well, there are several reasons for this as well. Number one is guilt. Guilty people do not like to think about God. When something goes wrong and it's our fault and we know it and we feel guilty about something, we don't want to think about God. Man, you know, we may think about him to blame him for something that's gone wrong in our lives. And usually, that's one of the first things we do when we're guilty of doing something. We like to find someone that we can blame for it. That's what Adam and Eve did. And it came back to God. Adam literally blamed God for the situation that he was in. When man does wrong, he likes to put God out of his mind. Listen to Jesus in John chapter 3 and verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Who is the light of the world? Jesus Christ. What does light do? It dispels darkness. It shines over darkness and exposes what darkness is trying to hide. When Adam did wrong, he tried to hide it from God. That's the first thing they did. They ran and hid. Sinners today don't think about God. They try to forget him. We'll put him out of our mind. We'll act like this never happened, and maybe it will go away. That has never happened, folks. It has never just gone away. And then, worldliness is another reason that men forget God. It's hard for people to remember God when the world is putting on such a spectacular thing around us. You know, they did something today and they've been doing it for years. The devil knows exactly what he's doing. Do y'all know what time the Super Bowl comes on tonight? 6:30. Do you know how many people are going to forget God tonight so that they can stay home and watch that stupid ball game? I would hate to know that I stood before God and I am sent to hell because of a stupid ball game. Worldliness, the desires of this world, it's all around us. And unfortunately, it's appealing to us. Y'all have heard me say this many times. The devil is not going to make sin look ugly. He's going to make it look pretty. Now, he didn't do anything for me this year about the Super Bowl because I could care less about the Patriots or the Seahawks. But if they'd have put the Falcons in there. And I also follow the Philadelphia Eagles. If they'd have put them in there, I'd have wanted to see that game, but I could care less about this one. So he didn't bother me with this one. But you'd still be amazed at the millions of people who's going to forget God tonight. John said in 1 John 2, verse 15, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know what that means? When we love these worldly things, we forget God. And oh, how many times we forget God. because of something else that we like in life. Another thing that makes us forget God is prosperity. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, we think about all of the wonderful things that God has done for us, or at least we are reminded to remember them. Let's read this passage. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Wait a minute. I'm rich. You know why I'm rich? God made me rich. I need to remember that. But so many times we don't. They fall into that temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drowned men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They have allowed themselves to forget God over a few pictures of a president. Isn't that awful? Now, which raises another question. Why is it sinful to forget God? Well, you see, man was created for the glory of God. God created us to need Him. God created us to love Him. God created us to obey Him as His servants, as His children. It is our purpose to honor and obey God. Everyone in this room, we claim to be Christians. Well, that's our purpose, to honor the one who gave us this Christianity. But then some people disagree with this. Who does God think He is demanding our honor? Who does He think He is demanding that we love Him and that we'll obey Him? Let me tell you who He is. He is your Creator. He is the one who put you here on this earth. He is the one that will take you out of this earth. And you wouldn't be here, you would not exist if it were not for Him. That's who He is. And man forgets that. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Why? Because He made us. And He made us to be this way. And it is so sad to see people turn away from God and from those who have helped them. You know, ingratitude is one of the sickeningest things that we can be a part of. Remember from Deuteronomy 8, verse 19, if by any means you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship them, I testify against you this day, and you will surely perish. It's a sin, folks, to forget God. Now, next question. What are some of the ways in which we can forget God? You've been talking now for the last few minutes and that we don't need to forget God. We need to remember God. Well, how can we forget Him? One thing is we can be unthankful. Basically, just not acknowledge Him as our giver. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It's talking about the Gentiles. Because also, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Let me ask you something. Have you ever really thanked God for the many ways that He has blessed you? Have you ever really done that? I mean, you know, it could be something as simple as maybe table grace. prayer at the table. You know, I learned the importance of table grace as a child. And I didn't learn it in my own home. I learned it from my granddaddy. And when you sit around his table, and I was around his table many times, you didn't touch that fork. And you didn't touch that spoon until table grace was said. And I remember that prayer so well. It was short, it was simple, and it was beautiful. And it said, "Kind Father, thank you for these and all blessings and favors. In Jesus' name, and amen." And that was it. Short and sweet. Alan will tell you it's not as short and sweet, or it's longer, or it's not. It's a lot shorter than what I do now. Yeah. You know, there was a time, not that long ago, I would not offer table grace in a restaurant, a public place. And I did so, I had this reasoning because of a passage of Scripture that came from Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. And this is Jesus talking, and he said, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father sees in secret and will reward you openly." And because of that verse, I would not do a public prayer, because I did not want to be that spectacle. But later, and it's just been a few years ago, I learned a very valuable lesson from my son-in-law. God hears my prayers, whether I'm in private or whether I'm in public. And I need to be thankful to my God regardless of where I am and what I'm doing. And I thank Alan for bringing that to my attention. And he didn't tell me about it. I just watched him do it. So we do table grace everywhere in the Hamner house now. But you know, some people forget to pray to God to say thankful, to say that they're thankful. But yet we find the example of Jesus. He gave thanks before he ate. In the two episodes that we have of Jesus feeding the thousands, the 5,000 and the 4,000, we find him thanking God for that fish and bread before he distributed it to the people. And when he instituted the Lord's Supper in Luke 24, he broke bread and he thanked God for it. He took the cup and he thanked God for it. So it can be something that simple that we can say thank you to our Lord. Some people will not say thank you with their abundance. I don't know what happened there. They forget that God said, "Freely you have received, freely you give." They have forgotten the words of Jesus in Luke 6 and verse 38. "Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." But we don't thank God for our abundance. My friends, we don't need to forget to be thankful. Then we have those who will make plans without including God in their plans. James addresses this in James chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. What James is trying to tell us is that when we are making our plans in life, don't leave God out. Because I got to tell you, friends, and you probably know this, you know it as well as I do. If we try to make our own plans in our own way without seeking greater advice than we have, we often fail. We need to seek God's help and advice in anything that we do in life. Yet, many people do leave God out. Some plan their marriages without God. Some plan their careers without God. Many plan their vacations and forget God. They know they're going to be out of town, and they know they're going to be gone on the Lord's Day, so they'll just skip it this time. And usually the answer is, in their mind, one time won't hurt. But then the second time comes around, and they'll say, well, one time won't hurt, and now it's been two times. And then the next time will be three times. We need to remember that text. Do not forget the Lord your God. We have people who forget God because they forget to read His Word. Now, I know the newspaper is not as important as it used to be. But I remember the day when the man didn't leave our newspaper at our house. My daddy went into a rage. He had to read that morning news. And if he didn't get it, he would throw a fit. And he would take the time, and it didn't matter what he was doing or what he had to do later on that day, he took the time to sit there and read that paper. Something tells me we got a lot of folks in here that do that very same thing. And we'll pick up a book, we'll read it. We'll pick up a magazine, and we'll read it. And we have time to do anything we want to do. If we want to do it, we'll find the time to do it, whether it's going to a ball game or a race or visiting relatives or doing something that we want to do, even though it takes a lot of our time. But we can't find time to read God's Word. We can't find time to get a better understanding of what He's trying to say to us. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Read something that will fill your mind, something that will actually do something for you. And then men will forget God, because they forget the church. As I said it once in this lesson, many people are going to forget the church tonight. Many have obeyed the gospel. They've become members of the body of Christ, but they have forgotten that unit of the church. And they seldom attend. They live like people of the world. Listen, folks, do you really know what the church is? The church is the bride of Christ. All of us men in here who are married, we know what that's like to have a bride, don't we? You forget them? You ever think about them? Sure you do. We are the family of God. We are His household. We are His vineyard. We are the pillar and the ground of truth. When we are together, we are the saints fellowshipping together as a family. And believe it or not, God is here with us. He is present with us when we are together as His family. And the soul that forgets the church forgets God. And if that becomes a part of their lives, then they will drift into the world, and that's how they die. Let me share with you something that Peter said about this actual thing. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. For if after this they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It would have been better for them to have never known the way of truth than to have known it and to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. I don't think anyone wants to be in their shoes. We forget the promises that God has made. When we go down into the watery grave of baptism, we have made a promise to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's something that is not signed in ink. We have become a living sacrifice to God. It may be that we have made other promises in our lives as Christians. We may have said something like, "Oh Lord, if you'll just help me get through this, I will live for you." You may say, "Well, Lord, if you would just let me prosper, I will give back to you." And you may say, "God, if you will spare my life or the life of my loved one, then I will come back to you." And these are promises that you make. Have you kept them? And we've all probably made promises like this. And we make promises like this all the time. But very seldom do we keep those promises. In closing this lesson, my friends, I want us to go back to one of the first passages that I shared with you in this lesson. Psalm 103 and verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I don't care who you are. If you can hear my voice today, God has blessed you richly in your life. Don't forget that. Your life, your health, your family, the forgiveness of your sins, and your salvation have all been benefits of God. So my friends, you need to live in such a way to show your gratitude. And don't forget God. This morning, if you are not a Christian, give your life to the Lord today. And if you have, as a Christian, forgotten God, put him back into your mind. Know that he has blessed you. Know that he loves you. And come back to him. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.